In testimony Tuesday before the Senate Armed Services Committee, members of the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission urged Congress to keep in mind that military compensation doesn't just involve one department of the government. In the final report they issued last week, they pointed to major opportunities for collaboration between the DoD and VA healthcare systems. And even though that's been a government-wide objective for a long time, the panel says there are still major seams. The panel found Congress could close gaps between the two departments' drug formularies, make much more use of shared services, and synchronize a broad range of disparate policies by giving more authority to the Joint Executive Committee, a DoD-VA working group that exists today but is mostly toothless when it comes to implementing its own decisions. Former Congressman Stephen Beyer is one of the commissioners.
And it really lies to the heart of ensuring that two departments of government work together seamlessly. So as that soldier, sailor, airman, marine transitions from their active status into the VA, they really shouldn't feel it.
They feel it today in many ways, says retired General Peter Corelli, another commissioner.
When I was Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, I had no idea that there were two different drug formularies between DOD and VA. I really believed that every single soldier who used drugs the way they were supposed to, who had post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, and was taking an off-label antidepressant, that when they showed up at their VA on day one, they would be able to provide that prescription to the doctor and he would automatically refill it. That is not the case. We have two different drug formularies. DOD has a very expansive, just about anything FDA has approved, they can prescribe and they do. And when an individual finally gets on the right drug at the right dosage and goes over to the VA, many, many times in this particular area, antipsychotics, antidepressants, anti-pain medications, they find themselves in a situation where the doctor looks at them and says, I'm sorry, I cannot refill that prescription. Now, you're going to hear a lot of different stories from folks, but I continue to have soldiers come to me, sailors, airmen, and Marines today. And if there's anything we could fix to get at this suicide problem, it would be to make sure that once we get a kid on the right drug, at the right dosage, wherever he goes in the system, he is able to get that same drug and not be told, I'm sorry, that's not in our drug formula.
Under the Commission's recommendations, experts working for the Joint Executive Committee would be in charge of things like developing a blended formulary for both departments to use and coordinating the sharing of electronic health data. Beyer says that joint committee produces a lot of valuable work, but it lacks the authority to tell either VA or DOD what to do with it.
It just doesn't have power now, so they can just create a lot of paper. And that's a pure heterodox. And we're asking that you give it statutory power to actually implement the recommendations. This wasn't in our recommendation, and I throw this to you because I anticipate the Secretary of VA would say, I'd like to have parity. So when the Joint Executive Committee meets, you have the deputy of the VA meets with the Undersecretary of Personnel. It's not the same. Mm-hmm. And if you raise that so that the Deputy Secretary of the VA and the Deputy Secretary of DOD meet at the Joint Executive Committee and give them power with their authority with the power to implement, big difference.
Beyond drug formularies, the Commission thinks the two departments have a chance to make better decisions about where and when to build new medical facilities and leverage one another's clinics and hospitals in various parts of the country where one or another of them might have capability gaps.
Whether it's building of military hospitals or a VA hospital in close proximity or outpatient or super clinics, have some resource sharing. Mm-hmm. Never again should we have a scenario whereby we all struggled trying to get the timelines for the building of an Army hospital and a VA hospital. That shouldn't ever occur to us again. A lot of sharing initiatives you find when you go around, there are a lot of local agreements. It's based on personality driven. But you know, there are a lot of things that work and are effective from those crucibles, and that a Joint Executive Committee could actually then to centralize those decisions rather than that being decentralized.
Former Senator Bob Kerry, another commission member, would go even further. He, like the rest of the panel, voted in favor of strengthening the DOD-VA committee. But speaking just for himself, he says mere collaboration isn't enough if the goal is to provide seamless care.
I think this collaboration idea is not going to work. I don't think you're going to get where you want to go unless you start considering actually putting these two systems together. And because of the readiness component, it's going to be DOD that's going to be in charge of it. And I think you got to go further. I would give this committee both authorizing and appropriating authority so they can't basically rope-a-dope you. You got to have some pretty substantial change in order to be able to get where you want. This is almost a 7-year anniversary of Dana Priest's story about Walter Reed. I remember Danny Inouye calling me up because both of us have been transferred out of a military system into the VA system. What do we need to do? So I spent a fair amount of time thinking about this. We got a good recommendation in here. You're going to improve collaboration. But unless and until you consider putting these two systems together and changing Senate rules so this committee both authorizes and appropriates, it seems to me unless you at least consider those two things, it's going to be very difficult to get the kind of changes that you want.
In its final report, the panel told Congress that it should eliminate the current TRICARE health insurance system for military members, retirees, and their families, and replace it with a new private insurance market that closely resembles the one that's available to civilian federal employees. While that recommendation is expected to save several billion dollars per year and also increase beneficiaries' access to care, it also introduces new complications. It's already proven to be a monumental challenge for DOD and VA to seamlessly integrate their own patient data. It will get harder as both departments send more and more of their own patients to private sector doctors.
Throughout the 2004-05 timeframe, we were spending about $400 million for non-VA care. Today, $6 billion? I mean, it's only going up. So think of this. It has a contract let to create their own new version of their electronic health record. VA is doing the evolution of Vista, and they want to make sure as they move to their new programs that they have data standards so they can be bidirectional. At the same time, the VA is doing more non-VA-based care in the private sector, and in order for there to be continuity of care, those private docs have to be able to communicate then with the VA. So we're talking about bidirectional, and so they can communicate. That's a huge challenge. Now in DOD, as they move to their new electronic health record, and as we make recommendations to you to move toward the selection of plans, there's going to be a lot of care provided in the private sector. So this setting of national standards on how the country will communicate is extremely important. And that's what I would see, Senator Donnelly, as what's the biggie that's about to come? It's about your leadership, about setting those national standards.
Also, Corelli warned that creating a new private health insurance market for DOD beneficiaries has the potential to take patients away from the military's own hospitals if the transition is not managed properly. That's something DOD desperately wants to avoid, since it sees those clinical settings as training environments for military clinicians who will one day have to deploy to a distant battlefield to provide combat care. But the commission also pointed to a major mismatch between the kinds of medical cases medical staff encounter in military treatment facilities today and the kinds of injuries they're likely to encounter in combat zones. To fix that, they recommended that military hospitals start taking veteran and even civilian patients as long as they help the military preserve what the commission calls essential medical capabilities.
Now, I think we're in a death spiral right now in our MTFs from the standpoint of they just don't have the number of reps that they need to keep their doctors up to standard. And this is a way that we can bring into our military treatment facilities the kinds of cases that contribute to battlefield medicine. That's what makes this system so different than any other system. We need well-trained doctors not only to treat patients in hospitals, but to be ready to deploy wherever we send them and provide that same kind of treatment on day one of the conflict. This will allow us to attract into our military treatment facilities the kind of cases that will keep those skills up and were so absolutely crucial to our survive wounds rate in the last 14 years of war. And it will do that on day one of the next conflict. And if we don't do it, we're going to have a very, very difficult time being able to provide that.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.